Good morning. Today's Daf and Yom HaSamech. We are on the very bottom of New Testament Beis, and we are just a little bit to go in terms of finishing up a sugya of Me'ila as it relates to Dam Kachim. And then with the Mishnah, and really the bulk of today's Daf, we're going to be talking about Seder HaYom, the order of the day of Yom Kippur, and which parts of the order are critical, meaning that you have to do it in a particular order, and failure to do so in a particular order is going to be ma'akev. That's going to be the bulk of today's daf as we're rounding out over here the fifth parak of Yuma. Fifth parak of Yuma, we've been spending some time over here in this parak, and so we just have a couple more days to go in terms of finishing it up. Most of it dealt with the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKadosh and doing the Hazaz, which we'll review when we get to the upcoming Mishnah. In the meantime, just a quick word about Me'ila, more than just a word, but by Me'ila, so anything that is Kachi Hashem, anything that's a Karban, is subject to Me'ila. If a person's mal behekdesh, she misappropriates and makes personal usage out of something that is Kachi Hashem, so he's in violation of an Isser of the Torah, and he's got to make reparations. He's got to pay back the principal of the value that he got, plus he has to add a chomish, plus he has to also bring a carbon and asha me'ila. So there is much repercussion for being mol behekdesh. However, when it comes to the blood, so blood is not going to be subject to me'ila. Why isn't blood subject to me'ila? We're talking obviously about dam carbon. So it's not subject to me'ila, so why not? So the Gemara, yesterday's daf, presented multiple drushas in terms of why that's the case. Three drushas in total. Obviously, there are going to be subtle differences, distinctions between the drushas, but the Gemara does not focus on that. The Gemara just simply presents to us three drushas why that should be. The last drusha that we went through is that when the Torah is describing the dam, so the Torah uses the word who, which means that it's going to be in the same state of being, meaning that the status of blood never changes, both before and after the zrika. So before and after kapara, so the dam's going to have the same status. Now, after kapara, so the dam is not going to be subject to me'ila, so it's going to be the same thing even before kapara as well. How do I know that after kapara, we could just reverse that argument? Well, if there's me'ila before kapara, then there's going to be me'ila after kapara. So how do I know that the first way I presented it is the correct way? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because we have a basic rule, and that is acher mitzvah. So after you do the mitzvah, there's no way there's going to be me'ila by an item. Meaning we concluded its purpose. We've done the mitzvah. It's not going to be subject to me'ila. That's the, so we know that after kapara, it's not going to be subject to me'ila. So then, we go in the reverse. So then, since it's always going to be in that same status, it's not going to have me'ila even before kapara as well. Ein lecha davar shenasas mitzvah, so omalim bo. That's the rule. And so therefore, that's the third and final source of the Gemara, how we know that dam is not subject to me'ila. And as, just going back full circle to yesterday's daf, so now, when you have all this blood coming out of the Azara, blood where the mitzvah's been done, all the Hazar's been done, and the Shayari Adam is poured down the Yisrodim Mizbeach, and now the canal flushes out that blood out of the Azara into the Kidron Valley. So what happens with that blood? So farmers are going to pick up that blood and use it. Do they have to pay for it? So our Mishnah said, yes, why did I have to pay for it? Meaning it no longer subject to me'ila. So the Gemara said, yeah, it's no longer subject to me'ila midaraisa, but midarabanan, the chachamim imposed that the farmers are going to have to pay for the blood. Okay, good. That takes us around full circle to what we saw basically in yesterday's daf. Now, we're just going to touch up the whole sugya, finish up the sugya, with a quick discussion regarding this idea that once the mitzvah is done, it's no longer subject to me'ila. So the Gemara says, is that really true? So, velo. So on the very last line of New Testament Beis, the Gemara says, is that always true? The Hari Trumas Hadeshen. So the Gemara says, don't you have Trumas Hadeshen? Trumas Hadeshen, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is every morning, first of Od, every morning, pre-dawn, Cohen's going to go up the ramp, take a shovel full of ashes, not all the ashes, that's Otsa'as Hadeshen, but just a shovel full of the ashes, and then walk it down the ramp and move over to the southeast side of the ramp and deposit on the southeast side of the ramp. Now, throughout the period of the Beis Hamikdash, there was an ace in it, and it just absorbed into the ground, but even though the mitzvah has been done, so you're not allowed to get any benefit from those ashes. Those ashes are going to be subject to me'ila even after it's done. So Rashi over here quotes the drasha. The Gemara doesn't quote the drasha, but Rashi does. Rashi in the very bottom of New Testament Beis, Dechsiv bo v'samo eitz al mizbeach, you place it by the mizbeach, the ton geniza. That means to say that even after you place it over there, so it requires geniza, meaning it is ineligible to get any benefit from even after you did it. So Amma Asa Bahana, Vikiva Bahana, Asa Mishim Kedusha Somila, So Nami Isbei. And Rashi over here points to the relationship between if it's Asa Bahana, so therefore, if by definition, so it's going to be subject to Mi'ilah. Anyway, the point of all this is that the Trumas Adeshin, even after the mitzvah is done, is in fact going to be subject to Mi'ilah. So you're telling me that Acher Mitzvah, so there is no Mi'ilah? I just cited you a case in which it is subject to Mi'ilah. Okay. That's called the problem. So the Gemara's answer, as we turn now to Samach Hamad Aleph, Mishum Davi Trumas Adeshin, no big dekuna, shnei ksuvim abayim ke'echad. V'chol shnei ksuvim abayim ke'echad, eim alamdim. So the Gemara says, okay, it's not one example, there are two examples in the Torah. One is Trumas Adeshin, as we just established, and the other one is Big Day Kahuna. After the Kohen Gadol does the Avod in Yom Kippur, so what happens to the Big Day Lovin that he wore? So it has to be put into Geniza, meaning you can't get any benefit from it. The mitzvah has been performed, the mitzvah has been done, so why can't you recycle the Begadim? Oh, so that's the second example where after the mitzvah is done, it's still going to be subject to Me'ilah. So what do we have now? We no longer have one case, but we have two cases. And so what's the basic rule? The basic rule is like this. If the Torah gave us one case, so that's what's called in halacha a binyanav, what we call in English a precedent. The precedent is set, and that would be the rule throughout. Once the Torah gives us two examples, the two examples is extraneous. Meaning if one example creates a precedent, so what's two examples? Two examples is what's called an exception. Right? These are now the exceptions to the rule. So it's interesting, right? Rabbeinu Chananel, by the way, right? The Gemara goes over this idea many times throughout Shas. Rabbeinu Chananel over here expresses it very clearly. Right, just on the side. I know I don't normally quote the Rabbeinu Chananel, but over here he expresses this idea very clearly. Shahayo lo lichtov. I'm just reading the Rabbeinu Chananel right here on the side. Shahayo lo lichtov be'echad ulam et asheni mimenu shekein hator nidreshes. Generally speaking, if the Torah wanted to give us the rule, tell us one time, and then we extrapolate from there. V'kevin shechziv od pamacheres. So when the Torah gives us the second example, gila lanu shezad din ba. Lo bilvad v'lo bezul asam. So that means that these are now the exceptions, not the rule. Okay. So now what we have are two examples of the Torah where there's me'ilah after the mitzvah is done. So two now is no longer becomes the rule, but rather now the exceptions to the rule. Back to the Gemara. Hanichal rabban and damrei v'hinichim shamalam mishatunim gniza. So the Gemara says that you can't recycle the big day kahuna. So that's much. It's subject to a machlokas, a tanaim. So there is an opinion that says that it has to be put in Geniza. So then, good. So you've cited now a perfectly good second example. But Ella, Rabbi Dosa, Dam, Rabbi Dekuna, Ru'uyin, Hein, Lekohen, Hejo, Michael, Amemar. But there is a sheet of Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa is of the position that you could recycle the beged of the Kohen Gadol. Who's going to be wearing the beged of the Kohen Gadol? Answer is the regular Kohen Hejo. In other words, the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, oddly enough, even though it's special begadim, worn by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, When all said and done, you know what it is? It's just regular begadim of a Kohen Hejo. There is a discussion to be had regarding the belt, whether the belt's a perfect match or not a perfect match. Okay, and we've gone through that numerous times in the Gemara. But basically, according to Rabbi Dosa, it can be recycled. And then the Gemara doesn't point this out over here. And according to Rabbi Dosa, when the Torah describes by the Kohen Gadol, v'inichem sham, it just simply means you can't use it another Yom Kippur. So in other words, for Yom Kippur purposes, it's one-time usage. But in terms of general usage, you could recycle it. Other Kohanim could wear it. Okay, good. So now it comes out that we don't have a second example. Remember, one example is a rule, two examples is the exception. But now the Gemara points out, we no longer have the exception. So if we no longer have the second exception, so Michael and Amar, so now what? So the Gemara says, okay, so there is another exception. Mishum David Shumas Adeshin, Ve'egla Rufa, Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad, V'chol Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad, Ein Malamdim. So the Gemara says the second exception is going to be Egla Rufa. You find a corpse between two cities. He was murdered. She was murdered. And we don't know which is the more proximate city. So we go out there, we measure the whole Parsha, at the end of Parsha Shoftim. Good. Egla Rufa. And now when you go through the whole procedure of Egla Rufa and you decapitate the calf, so now what? So now it's Asur Bana. You're not allowed to get benefit from it. Even though now the mitzvah is concluded. And it's based on a drasha. We'll go through the drasha in just a moment. So that's going to be our second example. So hanich laman darma in malam dim elaman darma malam dim aikal meimar. So the Gemara says, okay, we're almost there. So we have now two examples, Trumas Adesh and Egla Rufa. They both tell us that even after the mitzvah is done, still subject to Me'ilah. And the two now become the exception, not the rule. And it's based on the principle of Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'achad, in malam dim. Now the Gemara points out, and the Gemara makes this point numerous times throughout Shas, is that there is an opinion, right? It seems to be not the mainstream opinion, but there is an opinion that says that if the Torah were to give us the exceptions, the Torah would give us three examples, not two examples. Okay, a little bit tricky to figure out what's the difference between two and three. Okay, but anyway, but there is that opinion. So if I were to subscribe to that opinion, and that is an opinion, meaning it's part of the corpus of Torah. So great, you cited two examples, but we need a third example. So the Gemara says, so Michael Amemar, so trei miyutik sive, visamo and ha'arufa. So the Gemara's response is, well, it happens to be in the two examples that we gave, Trumas Hadesh and Enegla Rufa, so incorporated in each one of them is also a miyut. Meaning the way the Torah speaks is an exclusionary terminology, and so therefore it tells us it's limited to these and only these. Okay. When the Torah says that by the Trumas Hadesh you place it, it says visamo, and you will place it. That's an exclusionary term. And by the Egla Rufa, it says ha'arufa. The hey is an exclusionary term. So these terminologies now give us the idea that only these and not others. Okay. V'hani t'lasi cry bedam. I'm sorry. That's already in next point. Okay, adkan. That takes us now pretty much to the end of the discussion in terms of how do we know the rule and how do we know the exception. The rule is that once the mitzvah is done, no longer subject to mi'ilah. And we just went through the two exceptions, Egla Rufa and the Trumas Hadesh. Okay, one more point. To wrap all this up. Mahani Tlasi Krai Bedam Lamali. Now, if you look by Dam, it says Lachem, Lechaper, and Hu. Meaning, let's go back to yesterday's Daf. How many drushas do we have that there's no longer Me'ila by Dam? So we didn't have one drusha. We didn't even have two drushas. We had three different drushas. Okay. The Gemara says, you don't need that many. Meaning, you want to tell me there's no Me'ila by Dam? It'd be one drusha. I get it. Three different drushas. Why are there three different drushas? So chalamute minosav, chalamute mimila, chalamute mitzuma. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why. So one is an exclusion of nosar, second is an exclusion of mi'ila, and the third is an exclusion from tuma. Let's go through each one of them. Let's explain each one of them. Nosar. Any carbon that's left behind its time, and not just carbon, but the dam as well. So if it's left behind its allotted time, so it's subject to the prohibition of nosar. Well, let's just leave the dam alone for just a moment. Let's just talk about the regular carbon. So carbon beyond its allotted time. Each carbon has an allotted time. By chatas, so it's a day and a night. By shlamim, you have two full days with the night in between. Good. And after that point in time, so if the carbon is not concluded, if not completed, so it's subject to nosar. Now, that means to say that it's left over, and the Torah says exactly what to do with nosar, but eish tisrof, you have to burn it. What if somebody were to eat nosar? So that's a serious avera. Serious, a person would be subject to kares if he did a bemezid. A person would have to bring a carbon chatzis if he did so bishoge. So that's nosar. So now dam can become nosar. Sure, dam has to be sprinkled by the end of the day and more accurately by sunset. If the dam is not sprinkled by sunset, so the dam is subject to now the prohibition of nosar. Now you eat the blood. Now it happens to be that by eating blood, you're going to be subject to kares for just eating blood. Meaning the consumption of blood in of itself is an issur kares. What we're now proposing is that really if it's dam kachim and it's nosar, so you should be chayv another issur as well, and that is for the consumption of nosar. Now the Gemara doesn't get into over here, and neither does Rashi. You know, we have a general rule of ein issur chalal issur. Once the Torah prohibits it, so then you don't have another issur superimposing on top of that. Okay. And it is a worthwhile discussion. It just happens to be the Gemara doesn't have it right now. But what we're saying is that the one exclusion tells us is that if I have a dam of carbon that becomes nosar, so the one exclusion tells me that it's not going to be subject to nosar. That's one drasha. The second drasha is by me'ila. That's our topic, right? We don't have to go over that again. And the third exclusion is going to be from tuma. A person who is tame begufo and he eats carbon, again, a serious avera, subject to, if he does so, b'mezid, it's going to be chayv kares. Fine. So if a person eats dam of a carbon while that person's in the state of tuma, so over here, again, based on the exclusion, so he's not going to be chayv kares for having eaten carbon that's tame. Again, just to be clear, he ate blood, he's going to be chayv for eating blood, but in other words, for a tame person eating carbon, so the exclusion excludes from that as well. Okay, so why do we have three miyutim? because dam of a carbon. You cannot eat it because it's dam. That's clear. However, it's not going to be subject to the prohibitions of nosar, or tuma, or meila. Okay, now, one more exclusion, if you will, but we don't need a drasha for it. And the Gemara goes over that fourth one. Aval mipikol otzarach limiuto kra, did not koshe yesh lo matirin bein la'adam, bein la'mizbech, chayav lo mishum pikol, ve'heim atzmo matir hu. So this is based on the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim spends a lot of time talking about pigol. It is literally the most talked about discussion throughout Zvachim, maybe Menachos as well. But I don't have the stats to support me right now. But anyway, it's discussed a lot. The idea behind pigol is that if a kohen performs the avoda with a machshava that he's going to either eat the carbon chutzes mano or eat the carbon chutzem kamo. So now he was mifagel. He created a disqualification in the carbon, and now the carbon has the status of pigol. Then, subsequently, if someone comes along and eats the carbon that's been rendered pigol, so that person is going to be chayv kares, right? It took me a while to, like, process this, digest this, right? The creation of pigol is not a kares-bearing avera. It's the consumption of a carbon that was rendered pigol, so that's going to be subject to kares. Okay, something that I have clear, but took me a while. Anyway, so over here, the dam of a carbon is not going to be subject to pigol, but not because of the miyutim, meaning we already covered the three exclusions of dam kachim. It just happens to be a rule within pigol. What's the rule within pigol? So if it's on the side of being nitar, meaning it's going to be permitted by something else, so then that is eligible to become pigol. If it's the matir, if it is what is creating the permission, so then it's not subject to pigol. And Rashi over here points out it's based on the prototypical pigol, which the Torah describes by shlamim, meaning the carbon itself. Once you sprinkle the blood, and the kohen had the machshava ra of chutzos manu chutzim kamo, you've rendered the carbon pigol. But in other words, for something to be eligible for pigol, it needed a matir. But the matir itself is not simply not going to be eligible and subject to pigol. Good. It's just a rule within pigol. So I don't need an exclusion. Atkan, that takes us through the first part of today's daf. So we just finished up our discussion from yesterday. The dam of a carbon is not subject to me'ila. And as we just concluded, not only is it not subject to me'ila, it's also not subject to nosar, and it's not subject to tumas aguf. If a person were to eat it while being tame, it's also not subject to pigol. For three of those, we learned it based on the drushes that we learned in yesterday's daf. And for the last one, for pigol, it's based on a rule within pigol. Okay, atkan. The first part of today's daf. Okay, for the remainder of today's daf, so we're going to be talking about Seder Hayom. Yom Kippur is extraordinarily organized and systematic, and the Torah gives us the exact procedure of how it's to be done. And so you can now go over it by just simply reading the Parsha in Chumash, where there, the Seder Hayom is reflected exactly step-by-step instructions in terms of how to do it, with one exception. We went over this earlier in the Masechta. There is, from the Torah's description of the Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol is going to be wearing the Big Day of Lavan just one time and doing all the Avodas Yom Kippur one time in the Big Day of Lavan. The Torah Shabbat Peh tells us that there's going to be a little bit of an interlude, meaning he'll do most of the avodas in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Heichal, while wearing the Big Day Lavan, basically everything we've done up until now. Then what he's going to change into the Big Day Zahav in order to offer his Zayil. Then he's going to go back into Big Day Lavan again with the Tovaling and the Mikvah and the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim in order just to remove the spoon and the shovel from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So in the Torah itself, you read through the Psukim, you don't get that picture. The Torah Shabbat Peh tells us that we go from gold to white to gold to white to gold. That's the only thing in terms of where Torah Shabbat Peh comes and modifies a little bit in terms of the Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim. Outside of that one example, the Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim in the Torah is Kis Seder. It's exactly the order as is actually done. How important is Seder? Okay, so to give a really simplistic answer, it's important, right? The Torah gives us an order in which to do it, so then you got to do it in that order. Okay, that's not our discussion. Today our discussion is how essential is Seder, meaning if we don't follow the prescribed order of the Torah, so do we got to go back and do it again? Okay. So you're right, not exactly my arena, but when you're following a recipe. So what happens if you don't follow it in the correct order? So you got to go back and do it over again? So again, right, simple example, but I guess it depends. So over here by Avodas Yom HaKippurim, so the answer also is going to be, it depends. It depends what Seder we're talking about, which part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim we're talking about. So let's start with the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is going to give us a really basic rule, and as we go through the Gemara today, so we're going to really break it down even further. I guess now is a good time, so let's do it now. It would be very helpful if we have, with clarity, the Seder of Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Now, I'll just simply tell you to remember all the Mishnahs that we did up until this point in time. Okay, that's a lot. All right, today's Daf Samech, so we're 60 blot into the Masechta. We don't got a lot more to go. Another 20 some odd blot. How about 30? Okay, close to 30. Okay, we have about another month to go. Okay, I take it back. We have about another month to go before we finish the Masechta, but we've gone through two-thirds of the Masechta. We've got another third to go. It's still, my point is still the same. It's a lot of Gemara. So what was the Seder of Yom Kippur? So I'm just going to break it down into basic steps that we've done up until now so that we have a really good picture of what happens. Number one, the Kohen did vidui by his par. I know there's a lot more to discuss, but I'm just talking about the actual avoda. So he does vidui by his par. Then, after doing vidui for the first time, he then does the hagrala. He does a lottery in order to make the selection of which goat is going to be Lashem and which one's going to be Lazazel. Then he's going to, so now the goats have been selected. So now he has a goat set up also that is going to be shechted and the blood's going to be brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now he's going to go back to his par and he's going to do vidui part two. Right? What's the difference between vidui part one, part two? So we've gone over this. Vidui part one, that's for him and for his immediate family. Vidui part two, that's going to be for all the other Kohanim. Good. Now, he shechts the par. So, and obviously with the shechting of the par, you have the Kabbal Saddam, and now he's ready to sprinkle in the base of Mikdash, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But, you need the cloud. So what you're going to do, what the Kohen Gadol is going to do is he's going to give the bowl over to another Kohen. Hey, you mix this. So it doesn't congeal. Good. Now, he gets the two fistfuls of the Ketores and with the shovel full of the hot coals, and he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and it creates a cloud. Then what he's going to do is that he's going to take the blood of the par and he's going to sprinkle into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then what he's going to do, and now he's going to shech the seer. He's going to take the dam of the seer and he's going to do the hazan, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, now he's got two bowls to work with. So now he's going to move into the Heichal, where there he's going to be sprinkling opposite the Parochis, again, one and seven for the par and the one and seven for the Seir. And since he's got two bowls to operate and he's only one person, so remember we had the stands in the Heichal, where he's going to have to put down one bowl, two stands, one stand, that was a Machlokas. Okay, I don't want to inundate. I just want to really break it down to the basic steps and the sequence. Then you do the Hazas by the Mizbeach. Four corners of the Mizbeach, then the top of the Mizbeach. Then you have the Shayari Hadam, the blood being poured onto the outside of the Mizbeach, and there are more avodas to follow, meaning that's not it. But in terms of the par and seir, that's the sequencing. Okay, good. So just that was a quick recap. Now let's start with the Mishnah. Kol Maisa Yom HaKippurim HaOmer Al HaSeder. So when it comes to all the Seder Hayom of Yom Kippur, so if what I do is I move anything out of order, so lo asa klom. So it was ineffective. So okay, good, that's the rule. And now we get to give examples. A Mishnah over here is going to give a total of four different examples. So hiktim damasir la damapar, yachziv yazir mi damasir la acher damapar. So let's say you did the blood of the goat before the blood of the bull. So that's out of order. So what do you then do? So what you do is you now have to do the dam seir after the dam apar. And now what the Mishnah is really saying, right? And we've gone over this before, is that look, obviously the blood of the bull comes before the blood of the goat in every one of the sets, in the set of the Kodesh Kodashim, in the set of the Peroches, and in the set of the Mizbech Hazahav. For every one of them, bull comes before goat. So if I did the goat before the bull, so now we say the following. So the goat blood that was sprinkled, so that is a zero, right? In other words, you get zero credit for that. But the bull blood's still good. And that's interesting, by the way. In other words, what you've done out of order doesn't disqualify both. It only disqualifies the one that you preceded and you shouldn't have preceded. So in other words, it only disqualifies, it renders it obsolete. But that's only the sprinkling of the goat. The bull blood that you sprinkled still is good. And now what you're going to do after the Dama Paris, you will just simply redo the Dama Seir. Okay. That's one example. And the second example, V'imashalo gamar samatana shebifnim nishpach adam, yavidam acher v'yachzer betchilas mibifnim. Let's say blood spills. So basically the Mishnah is telling us, and by the way, this example over here isn't so much out of order. It just happens to be that the Kohen Gadol spilled the blood. Now, if you can collect the blood from the floor, you may do so. Remember, the disqualification of blood, if it spills on the floor, is only if it goes directly from the neck of the animal onto the floor. But once it's been collected into a bowl, and it happens to be that from there you spilled it, you could pick it up. But the Mishnah is talking about a case where it was not salvageable. So the Mishnah says that if you drop the blood, so yachzer mitchila mibifnim. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to start again. Start again from where? From wherever that set was. We'll be more specific about that in just a moment. V'chein b'heichal, v'chein b'mizbech hazav. And that's not only true in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but it's also true in the Heichal, and it's also true by the Mizbech Hazav. Shekulin kapar b'fnei atzman. They're all kapara in of themselves, meaning that basically you're going to start again from the beginning of that set. So you're in the middle of set number one in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and blood spills. Okay, so you restart to that set. You're going to have to get a new carbon and shecht it all over again, but you're going to start again at that particular set in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Again with the bull and then with the goat. If, let's say, the blood spills, either blood, doesn't matter, goat or bull. If the blood spills in the while sprinkling to the paroches, what the Mishnah here describes as the heichal, so again, same thing. You're going to have to start again, but you're not going to have to start all the way back in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That set has been concluded. You'll just simply start by the paroches, and the same thing is true by the Mizbech Hazav. And basically what the Mishnah is telling us is that of the three sets of the Hazals, of the Par and the Seir, once in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, a second time in the paroches, and the third time by the Mizbech Hazav, they are all considered independent units. And so therefore, if you satisfied sprinkling in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then afterwards the blood spills, you don't have to go back to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, et cetera, et cetera. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, and Memakim Shepasak Mishamu Mascha. And then the sheet of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, which we'll spend more time in tomorrow's daf discussing, and that is that you don't have to restart even the whole set. In other words, wherever you left off, you can pick it up right from there. If, let's say, you were by the paroches, in the heichal, by the paroches, and you spill the blood after the third hazaa, so then you just simply get new karbanos, you'll shech new karbanos, and you'll now pick it up right from there. Hazaa number four. Okay, and tomorrow we'll go over this in more detail. The shitas of these tanaim, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, well we go right to the Gemara, and the Gemara over here is going to be providing for us a brisa that's going to give us these rules, but with a little bit more detail. Kol ma'isa yom kippur amar l'seder im hikdim ma'isa l'chaver lo asa klum. So any ma'isa yom kippur that is al ha'seder, where there's a specific order in terms of how it's to be done. And you flip the order, so the brisa says lo asa klum. So it is rendered ineffective. So Amar Rav Yehuda Emesai. So now what we're going to be doing is that we gave the general rule like we did in the Mishnah, but here now we're going to be much more specific about which parts of the Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim are critical, are essential. And in this, we're going to have two basic opinions. We're going to have Rabbi Yehuda and we're going to have Rabbi Nechemia. First, Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Emesai b'dvar manasim b'bigdei lavan mibifnin. That's only talking about those avodas that are done by the Kohen Gadol while he's wearing his bigdei lavan and mibifnim, and he has to be interior. Now, the word interior over here is not super clear because the Kohen Gadol is going to be, when we say interior, where is that? What does that mean? Well, he's going to be all the way in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He'll be in the most interior, but he's also going to be in the Heichal. So when the Mishnah over here says bifnim, while he's in the interior, so Rashi over here writes on the Gemara, first Rashi on the Gemara, lifnai v'lifnim. So Rashi over here says, with clarity, that's talking about in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that means that according to Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, the Seder of Avodas Yom Kippurim, which is essential, is going to be while the Kohen Gadol is wearing his Begdei Lavan, and moreover, while in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But that which is done while the Kohen Gadol is wearing his Begdei Lavan and he's bachutz. Now, what does bachutz over here mean? So bachutz, based on the Rashi that we just learned, bachutz over here means while he's in the heichal. So he makes the ma'aseh lechaver or ma'aseh asa asui. So there, if you flip the order around, so okay, so shouldn't have done it, obviously. In other words, the Torah gives very clear instruction, direction, in terms of what the order should be, but if you flip it around, so masha asa asa, what's done is done. Meaning you don't have to redo anything while in the heichal. Good, that's Shitas Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, Ba'medvar Mamor, Bidvar Manasim, Bibigdei Lavan, Be'mi Bifnim, Be'mi Bechutz. And according to Rabbi Nechemi, when the order is critical, is any time the Kohen Gadol is wearing his Bigdei Lavan, both in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the heichal as well. So not just the sprinkling of the dam, the parents, the ear in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but even in the Heichal and even on the Mizbeach. That too will become critical. If the Kohen, while wearing the Big Day Zav, were to flip around the order, so Masha Asui Asui, what's done is done. Meaning there, the order does not become critical. So we have two basic positions amongst the Tanaim in terms of when does order become essential. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Shitas Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim it's essential. Outside of that, it's still a mitzvah to follow the order, but it's not essential. And according to Rabbi Nechemia, it expands. Not only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but even in the Heichal as well. Anything that is out of order, it is now rendered ineffective, and you have to now go back and redo it, Kiseder, in the right order. Good. So these two Shitas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia, what is it predicated on? Next point to the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan points out that the two Tanayim, although they differ in their positions, are looking at the same pasuk. So the pasuk says, "V'haisa zos lachem l'chukas olam achas bashana." So this will be for you chukas olam. So you see the word chuka. So chuka tells us this is the way it must be. You cannot deviate whatsoever. So chok tells me that this is essential. Good. What is essential? So here, the pasuk is not abundantly clear. The Torah says, you know what's essential? Achas b'shana. That which is unique to this particular day. Now, good. So what is that making reference to? So as we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Savra, makom shemis kaprim bo pama achas b'shana. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what we're describing, the unique aspect? We're talking about the makom, we're talking about the place. The Kodesh HaKadoshim. So there is no other time that a Kohen Gadol, or any other Kohen for that matter, is going to be going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Unique aspect of Yom Kippur, obviously, there's a lot of unique aspects of Yom Kippur. Right? The two goats, the lottery, right? The Sira Mishtaleach. There are a lot of unique aspects. But in terms of this Pasuk, and how to darshan this Pasuk, so Rav Yehuda says that when it says Achas Bashan, it's talking about Makom. There's one place that is unique to Yom Kippur, and that, of course, is Kodesh HaKadoshim. Good. So, and that's why, according to Rav Yehuda, the only avodas that become essential in terms of Seder is only those avodas that are done in this unique area, otherwise known as the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rav Nechemia Savra, Dvarim Hamis Kaprim Bahem Pam Achas Bishana. And Rav Nechemia says, no, when we talk about unique aspects of Yom Kippur, we're not talking about the Makom, we're talking about Dvarim. We're talking about those things that are done on Yom Kippur and done no other time of the year. Kohen Gadol's wearing Big Day Lavan. There's no other day of the year that Kohen Gadol's going to be wearing Big Day Lavan. And when he wears his Big Day Lavan and goes into the Heichal, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and into the Heichal, so for Rabbi Nechemia, that's all included in essentiality. So the Gemara says, okay. So I'll tell the Rav Yehuda Makom Ksiv. So this is Rav Yochanan's attempt to explain both positions. And the Gemara just challenges. The Gemara pushes back. For Rav Yehuda, I don't see the Torah saying the word makom, meaning just go back to that pasuk on the bottom of the Amud Aleph. V'haisa zos lachem l'chukas olam achas b'shana. Torah doesn't say the word makom, meaning what the Gemara points out over here. Rav Nechemia seems right. Rav Yehuda, the way Rav Yochanan is explaining it, there's no indication in the pasuk we're talking about makom, and it's all just limited to makom. So Ella, Hainu Tamid Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara just simply abandons Rav Yochanan's explanation of Rav Yehuda. The Gemara now gives another explanation of Rav Yehuda. So, and that is Ksiv Zos and Ksiv Achas. So in the Pasuk, it says Zos and it also says the word Achas. So each one of them is an exclusionary term. So Chalamukte Bigdei Lavan Mibachos V'Chalamukte Bigdei Zahav. So one is there to exclude Bigdei Lavan, which is done Mibachos. Now again, here when we say Mibachos, we're speaking in relative terms. It means outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Chalamukte Bigdei Zahav, and the other one is to exclude when the Kohen Gadol is wearing his Bigdei Zahav. And when he's wearing his Bigdei Zahav, he's not in the Heichal at all. So that means to say that with these two exclusionary terms, so it comes down now that according to Rav Yehuda, the Kohen Gadol has to be wearing his Bigdei Lavan, and he has to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then and only then does Seder become essential. Outside of that, again, Seder is important, right? I don't want to understate it, but it's not essential. Okay, good. So it's basically, it's two miyutim. Now, Reb Nechemiah, for Reb Nechemiah, obviously, he's looking at the same pasuk, and he also has to acknowledge that we have two miyutim. What's Reb Nechemiah going to do with that? So Reb Nechemiah, Chalamukte Bigdei Zahav, Chalamukte Shiraim Dolama Akve. Reb Nechemiah says, yeah, there are two exclusions. One exclusion is to exclude Bigdei Zahav, and the other one is to exclude Shiraim. Shiraim is not Ma'akev. Now, when we say Shiraim is not Ma'akev, the simplest way to read the Gemara is that if the Kohen Gadol failed to do the Shiraim, he did all the Hazos, all three sets of the Hazos with the Par and the Seer, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Parochas, and on the Mizbeach. But he just simply doesn't do the Shiraim. The simple way to read our Gemara is that, okay, in other words, he failed to do a mitzvah, but it's not Ma'akev, it's not essential. He doesn't have to start all over again. Rashi over here writes, it's an interesting Rashi. Rashi over here writes that when we say that Shiraim are not Ma'akev, we mean the order of the Shiraim is not Ma'akev. Okay, right? A bit of a discussion in terms of why Rashi over here focuses on the order of the Shiraim. But either way. Now, Rav Yehuda, Ima'akve, Ma'akve, V'ilo Ma'akve, Lo Ma'akve. Now, as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, Rav Yehuda will argue like this. Either Shiraim are going to be Ma'akev or not going to be Ma'akev. Meaning, Shiraim are going to follow the rest of the, status of the Hazaz Adam. Meaning, whatever is essential by the Hazaz Adam is going to be Ma'akev, and whatever is not is not. So, for Rav Yehuda, Shiraim do not, are not to be separated from the rest of the Avoda of Yom Kippur. Kid Tanya. Now, the Gemara points out over here, that this is subject to a Machlokas HaTanaim. What is subject to a Machlokas Tanaim? So this idea that whether or not Shiraim are Ma'akev or not Ma'akev, that's subject to a Machlokas. How do I see that? So the Gemara points out. The Kila Mechaper Zakarash Im Kiper Kila Vim Lo Kiper Lo Kila. So the Torah says that in concluding the avoda, you're going to be mechaper tzakodesh. So im kiper kila, im lo kiper lo kila. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So if you're mechaper, so then you've concluded. If you were not mechaper, then you have not concluded. Okay. What exactly does that mean? Hold that thought. Obviously, it needs clarity. We'll try to get more clarity on that in just a moment. Amalo Rabbi Yehuda mimnei malo nemar im kila kiper ve im lo kila lo kiler. Lo kiper. To which Rav Yehuda says, if the Torah had not said, im kila kiper, v'im lo kila lo kiper. Meaning, we have to look at the order in which the pasuk presents it. Right? If you were kila, then you were a mechaper. And if you were not kila, if you didn't conclude, you were a mechaper. Meaning, why specifically in that order? Shim chiser achas mikolam, achas minamatanus lasav lo klom. It means to say that if you fail to do one of the hazos, there's a lot of hazos that are being done. If you fail to do one of them, so you are not mechaper. Meaning you have to finish all the hazos. Then and only then are you mechaper. Okay, now, in this brisa, it's clear, what's clear is the following. There's got to be an end point. Meaning you got to do all the, avoda. You have to do all the kapara. And then we have a debate between, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yehuda, that the Torah says, v'chila mechaper, so im kiper kila, that was Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, flip it around because that's the way the Torah presents it. It's not really clear what exactly is happening in that brisa. Like they're not, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yehuda are not super clear about what they're actually talking about. And if in fact they're really debating, talking about the order of the pasuk and what's the correct way to read the pasuk, you understand. They both agree to what the correct way to read the pasuk is. But what's the correct way to interpret the pasuk? What are they arguing about? So, on that, Amrinan, So they said, meaning the Bnei Yeshiva pointed out, meaning in the yeshivas of Bavel, so they go over this machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yehuda, and they're trying to make sense of it. Like, what are they arguing about? So, my beinaihu, Rav Yochanan, Rav Yeshua ben Levi. So, amongst the Amoraim, so we're going to be treated to Rav Yochanan's interpretation, Rav Yeshua ben Levi's interpretation. Chad amar, mashmas darshan. So, according to one, mashmas darshan. We hear this every now and then throughout Shas, mashmas darshan. What does that mean? It means how to explain a pasuk, how to teach a pasuk. There's no halachic difference between the two of them. It's just what's the correct interpretation. Okay. Right. It's when the Gemara says this, it's not totally satisfying. I mean, we don't have any practical differences between them. They're just looking at the pasuk again. What is the correct shot? But in terms of halachic conclusions, it comes out to be the same. Okay. That's one. And, v'chan amar, shirayim ma'akve ika beinayhu. And the other viewpoint is that no, they're having a halachic debate. Notably, how essential is shirayim? Now the Gemara doesn't really spell it out, but Rashi does. Rashi says shirayim ma'akve ika beinayhu. Look at Rashi over here. Rashi now lines up how each is going to present their position. Again, the participants of this debate is Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside. Rabbi Kiva says shirayim la'ma'akve v'hachi kamar. So Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that the shirayim are not ma'akev. And this is how the pasuk is to be read. Im kiper ikar hamatanos kila. If you're mechaper doing the essential or the main kaparos, meaning the hazos, so then you have achieved kapara. So the afila lo shafach shirayim. And if you didn't do shvicha shirayim, you didn't pour the remaining blood onto the yesod, again, you failed to do a mitzvah, but it's not essential. V'Rabbi Yehuda savra ma'akvei, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's ma'akev. V'hachi kamar, im ki la hakol. Because remember, what does Rabbi Yehuda place the emphasis on? He places the emphasis on the word kila, right? Look back at the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm reading, I'm going back to the brisa. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda mimnei malo nemar im ki la kiper v'im lo ki la lo kiper. His focus is on the word kila, which means that you have to conclude. Now, what's conclusion? Bringing the blood to its conclusion means you have to do the shirayim. So, and back to the Rashi. Hachikamar im kila hakol. So, as kipir v'im lo, kipir hakol, ena kapara shal matanos kapara. Okay, good. So now what comes out in this brisa, now based only on one interpretation, not both, but according to one interpretation, so Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda are debating how essential is shirayim. Rabbi Akiva says it's not essential. Rabbi Yehuda says it's essential. Okay, so to which so good. So and now that brings us back to our discussion, and that's going to be the machlokus in our discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia. So the Gemara says, okay, but just a bit of a problem in that we know that Rav Yochanan tells us that according to Rabbi Nechemia, shirayim are me'akev. It happens to be that we saw this some time ago in the Daf, back on Mem Aleph, I'm sorry, Mem Tes. But anyway, it comes out now that we have a Masorah that according to Rav Yochanan, the shirayim are me'akev, and that goes against what we just got done saying. So Kasha, the Gemara says, okay. So for Rav Yochanan and his viewpoint of Rav Nechemia, so we get a little bit of mixed messages. Okay. But regardless, when all said and done, that is now how we darshan the pasuk, both according to, let's go back to our machlokas, according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rav Nechemia. Where are we right now? So what now becomes essential Seder Hayom for Avodas Yom HaKippurim, where if you flip the order around, so Lo Asa Klum, you haven't done anything. Meaning for the item that is now out of order, so that now is considered as if you didn't do it. Good. So that we learned in the Mishnah, that we learned in the Braisa. What does that encompass? So we have two basic sheets of the Tanaim. We have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Yehuda is the most limiting. He's of the position that it's only talking about the avodas that are done while the Kohen Gadol is wearing his big day lavan in the Kodesh HaKadashim. That's it. And according to Shitas Reb Nechemia, no, it is actually more inclusive. It talks about any of the avodah that's done by the Kohen Gadol while he's wearing his big day lavan, both in the Kodesh HaKadashim and in the Heichal as well. And then the Gemara just for the last basically Amud, right, since the bottom of the previous Amud to where we are right now, the Gemara wants to know how do they arrive at those conclusions. So Rav Yochanan had a viewpoint, and then the Gemara ended up citing a different viewpoint. It's based on the double miutim and how each of the Tanaim explained the double miut. Okay. Let's just do a little bit more to finish up the daf. Amar Rabbi Chanina Ketorshe Chafna Kodem Shkitaso Shalpar Lawasa Veloklum. Okay. Let's say the Kohen Gadol does the following. He does a Chafina. He takes the fistfuls of the Ketores and presumably also he burned the Ketores as well. And he did that before the shechting of the par. So, no good. Lawasa Veloklum. In other words, as we went over just a couple minutes earlier, the shechting of the par is done before the chafina, and he flipped it around. So, according to Rabbi Chanina, he's got to go back and he's got to redo. So, command lo ka Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, and I'm telling you it's not like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, because remember, Rabbi Yehuda says, which avodas are essential in terms of Seder? Only the ones that are done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is an avoda that was not done in the Kodesh Kadoshim. Di Rav Yehuda, hamar ki ksiva chuka b'dvar manasim b'bigdei lavam me'befnim hu diksiva. So it seems like this position, Rabbi Chanina, is not working within Rav Yehuda. It's only working within the shita of Rabbi Nechemia. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Afilu tema Rav Yehuda. Sarach panim ki panim damo. You're right. When the Kohen Gadol does the chafina, when he takes the Ketores in his two fists, it's true he's doing so not while in the Heichal. It's true that he does so while in the Azara. Remember, he goes, they get that big shovel out of Beis Aftinas, and the Kohen Gadol is going to take his two hands and he's going to cup them into the shovel, and he's doing all that in the Azara. That's true. But where are we going with the Ketores? He's going directly into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara says this is what's called Sorech Penim. Since you obviously need the Ketores in order to go to the Kodesh Kadashim, so the Chafina, just even taking the Ketores, even though it's done in the Azara, that's considered Avodas Penim. It's considered like the Avoda that's done in the Kodesh Kadashim. Therefore, even according to Rav Yehuda, the Seder becomes essential. Therefore, if the Chafina was done after before the Shechting of the Par, so it's therefore out of order. It's out of order for an avoda, which we're now going to qualify as an avoda's panim, and therefore you have to do it all over again. Okay. So even though Rav Yehuda is the most limiting position in terms of which seders are essential, but you also have to take into consideration not just the avodas that are done in the Kodesh Kedoshim, but avodas that are there to prepare for the Kodesh Kedoshim. Notably, the chafina, the taking of the Ketores. Let's do one more piece. Tanan. Imash lo gamar matan shemifnim nishpach adam yavidam acher v'yachzer v'yazeh v'tchilam mibifnim. So let's say the blood spills, right? This is our Mishnah. If the blood spills, before you were finished, the matan shemifnim, the sprinkling of the blood that's done inside. So now what you have to do is you have to be yavidam acher, you gotta bring new karbanis, and you gotta shach the karbanis, and you gotta start anew. And now you have to start new, but you have to, in other words, whatever azaz that you did up until now, simply do not count, and you gotta start from the beginning. Now, v'imisa yachzer v'yachpon mi ba'ile. Now, the Gemara says, now, based on what you just taught me, that the chafina, even though it's done in the azara, is considered kibifnim, because obviously you need the ketores in order to go into Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when the Mishnah says you gotta redo, you know what the Mishnah did not mention, which it should have? Not only you have to shech the karbanos anew, but you also have to do chafina anew. In other words, again, the chafina has to be done the chafina has to be done before the hazos. So, and the chafina, even according to Rav Yehuda, is considered avodas panim, so that has to be done again as well. Okay, that's a problem. But right now, we're just simply pointing out that that should be done again, because that now needs to be done in proper sequence. So the Gemara says, okay. Let me finish the Gemara's answer. So the Gemara says, ki ketores lo kamari. So the Gemara says like this. Hey, you're right. Meaning 100%. Meaning right now, as far as the Mishnah's focus is concerned, the Mishnah was focusing on the blood that have to be sprinkled again. But yes, meaning the Mishnah is not giving us the full picture. The Mishnah is just simply focusing on the aspect of dam. But you're absolutely right. Meaning once we're going to have to be doing the blood anew in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that now what is going to necessitate is also that the chafina has to be done again. Because again, chafina is considered koda, it's considered avodas panim, since you are going to bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and so that also has to be done in proper sequencing. Okay, so, and the only reason why the Mishnah didn't say it is just simply the Mishnah was focused on the dam and not on the ketores. But you're right, ketores has to be done new. Yeah, I guess it's gonna, you're gonna have to clean it up and start again, I suppose. Yeah, like you dispose any disqualified carbon, meaning it's disqualified carbon now. So like any disqualified carbon, some of it's burned, some of it's buried. Gemara at the end of Temura. Okay, Adkan. All right, good. Gets us to the end of the daf. Let's just quickly review. Dam is not subject to Mi'ila. That was the end of yesterday's daf and really the beginning of today's daf. How do we know that? We have a drasha. And anytime the mitzvah has been done and been completed, so it's no longer subject to Mi'ila. And by dam, that's not only true after the mitzvah is done, it's also true before the mitzvah is done as well. This rule that achar mitzvah, so there's no Mi'ila, are there exceptions? And the answer is yes, there are exceptions. Two, to be specific. One is going to be Trumas Hadeshen, and the other one's going to be Agla Rufa. Okay? And once there are two exceptions, so there no longer are the rule, they are the exceptions. And that's an oversimplification. The Gemara was a little bit more detailed, but in terms of a summary, that's a great summary. Okay, good. Next, and really the remainder of today's daf, the Mishnah and Samach Amad Alf talked about Seder, the order of Yom Kippur. Torah gives a very specific and prescribed order in terms of how it should be done. And obviously we should be following, the Kohen Gadol should be following the sequence to a T. What our discussion was for the remainder of today's daf is which parts of the Avoda, if done out of order, are therefore rendered invalid. It's as if you did nothing. So over there, the Mishnah gives us a rule. But then we went through the Gemara. When we saw the Brice on the Gemara, it actually is a machlokas tanayim in terms of which avodas are essential. Shitas Rav Yehuda, Shitas Rav Nechemiah. Shitas Rav Yehuda is that the avodas of the Kohen Gadol while wearing his Big Day Lavan in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that is essential in terms of Seder. Anything after that, obviously, is a mitzvah, but not ma'akev. Mashenkin, according to Shitas Rav Nechemiah, the avoda that's done not only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but any of the avodas that's done while the Kohen Gadol is wearing his Big Day Lavan in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Heichal, so that's going to be essential. Then the last part that we did today, and the question of whether or not she rhymes Ma'akiv, which may be connected to this Machlokas, right? I skipped a step in terms of summary. I didn't follow Seder. And then the Gemara gives us what are the reasons behind Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Rav Yochanan tries to offer how they darshan it. The Gemara offers a different reason in terms of how they darshan it, connected to whether Shirayim or Ma'akev, Shirayim or not Ma'akev, fine. And then finally, the last thing we did today is that Rabbi Chanina, who's an Amora, says that if you do the Chafina out of order, so you got to redo it again. That statement of Rabbi Chanina, is that in accordance with Rabbi Nechemiah, not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda? And the Gemara concludes, no. It's even in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rav Yehuda, the only thing essential is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yeah, but the Chafina, even though it's done in the Azara, is for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's what's called Sorech Panim, and therefore the Sorech Panim is treated like Panim, and that's going to be essential even according to Rav Yehuda. Adkan.